Can I put this here?
I'm very grateful to the Kollel for giving me the opportunity. It's a very big schus for me. And to be able to have the chance to hopefully be mezakeh the rabbim, especially with such limited time left to the Yemei Hadin, it's a very big schus for me, and I want to publicly thank the entire Kollel for giving me this opportunity. I mentioned this past week when I was speaking to a few people that we know the concept of mikveh. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that the same way ma mikveh mitaras hatameim afa kodesh baruch hu mitaras shol, the concept is that a person has the ability to go into the mikveh and they come out tahar. We have to understand how that works. Similarly, during a time that a person needs to go to their own personal level of purity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies us. That's the concept of the Gemara in Yuma. Ma mikvah mitahar es hatameim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitahar es Yisrael. How does that work? So a number of years ago, I heard Rav Katz, the Jibo Dayan, say a tremendous pshat. It's obviously a very novel explanation, but it's the way it works out is just like a beautiful, beautiful thing. If you take a look in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, Rashi says in the very beginning, Vayakel, Kol Adas Yisrael, everybody was gathered. When were we gathered? So Rashi says, Mimochos Yom HaKippurim, which means the morning after Yom Kippur. So why was the gathering specifically, granted that was after the 40 days, in other words, you have Chodesh Elul, and you have the 10, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you have a total of 40 days. The morning after Mimochos Yom HaKippurim, everyone gathered. I believe it's the Baal HaTurim who brings down there on that Pasuk, the Rashi that I just told you, the gathering was like it would have been the morning after everyone gathered together. There was a sense of purity like when one comes out of a mikvah. I believe that's what the Baal HaTurim brings down. And to emphasize the point, I believe it's the Baal HaTurim who says that the gematria of Vayakel and the gematria of mikvah are both 151. Mikvah is 151, Vayakel is 151, so apparently there's an intrinsic tie-in between the Vayakel and mikvah. They both seem to create this sense of repentance, this sense of purity. Interestingly, when I was mentioning it to a few people earlier in the week, it dawned on me as an aside that the mikvah is 151 and Vayakel is 151. Together it's 302. And Shov, Shin Beis, to return and to do tshuva is 302. So it could be that, I don't know that that's the makor, but it could be it's a nice raya to the concept that mikvah and Vayakel together, 302, create this level of Shov. But what's going on over here? Why Dafka after Yom Kippur? And why is it specifically that it's comparable to a mikvah? So the Jibo Dayan says very beautifully the following concept. We know, and we mentioned recently, especially when we're dealing with trumas and maestras, that there are many different levels of things that have a bittul. A bittul means that it becomes nullified. Somebody will go to the Rav and say, a drop of milk fell into the chicken soup. So different things have different levels of bittul. The one we're most familiar with is batul b'shishim. Regarding other halachas, trumas and maestras, there's something called batul b'meya or batul b'masayim. There are a lot of different levels. That's 1 in 100, 1 in 200. It's brought down in Halach and Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down, very interesting, that if you have a beria, which means you have a complete insect or something that's complete, a beria, a complete entity, that has a bittul 1 in 960. You could look it up. It brings it down. 1 in 960, there is a bittul. So somehow, by the beria, it has this unusual halacha, 1 in 960. So the Jibo Dayan says, somewhat al pidrush, a fabulous, fabulous insight. He says, maybe that's one way that you could explain the concept of mikveh. A person goes into a mikveh, and all of a sudden they come out like a bria chadasha, they're cleansed. He says, yes, it's a very good cheshbon, according to what we just said in the laws of bittul. A person has to go into a mikveh that has to have the requisite arbayim sa. If it doesn't have arbayim sa, we'll see in a minute, but it's not a good mikveh. We know that in every sa there's 24 lugin. If a person does the math of 40 times 24, meaning 40 sa times 24 lugin, 40 times 24 is 960. That means, he says, when a person who's a bria, person is an entity in and of himself, but when he goes into the mikvah, I realize it's not 960 times the volume. Hence, I use the comment earlier based al pidrushi saying it, meaning because invariably somebody comes over and says afterwards, but that I'm well aware of that. In other words, a person is going into a mikveh and he's going into something that's 40 sa times 24 lugin is 960. So when he comes out, there's a bittul. What does a bittul mean? He's coming out as a bria chadasha. So he says very beautifully, we know that this in Vayakel took place mimachras yom kippur because there were 40 days, chaydesh el, and the 10 days of ben keser la'asla aser shimei tshuva, it's a total of 40 days from the beginning, Rosh Chaydesh el, till yom kippur is 40 days. We know that in every day there are 24 hours. That means a person is given from the time chaydesh el starts until Yom Kippur is over, they're given an opportunity of 960 shoys, 960 hours. It's a pasha de cheshbon. 40 days times 24 hours is 960. Memele, if a person will properly nutzeis and properly utilize the shoys, as we've said many, many times, shoys doesn't only mean hours, but it means opportunities, right? We know the famous vart based on Reb Tzadok, you're allowed to translate a word the way it's used the first time in the Torah. Shah, the first time in the Torah, is not our. By Kayin's carbon that was rejected, the Pasuk says, El Kayin ve'el mincha, so loy shah. He didn't turn. So you see that a shah is a turn. So when the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, yesh kaina oilamoy b'shah achas, it doesn't mean only in 1 hour. You could acquire your world in one shah. Just one turn, the opportunities are there. The Mela, the Jibba Dayan Zoller, Gesundun Starkzain says beautifully, in Chaydesh Elul there are 960, 40 times 24 hours, shois, hours and opportunities. If utilized properly, you'll come out clean. That's what the Gemara Min Yuma means. Ma mikvah mitares atameim, just like mikvah works, because someone is going into something that has a volume of 960 and they come out of Bria Chadasha, so too when it comes to Kal Yisrael, how does purity work? Because after Yom Kippur, you just went through 960 hours and opportunities. Memela, that's Pshat and Rashi. The Pasuk says, Vayakel, all of Kal Yisrael gathered. And Rashi says, Mimachas Yom Kippur, right after Yom Kippur. Why right after Yom Kippur? And on that, I believe it's the Baal Turim who says it worked just like a mikvah. Oh, because after Yom Kippur, that's specifically when you just went through 960, and going through 960, now you have the purity just like mikvah. Parenthetically, I was thinking maybe you could say, just something I thought of, I don't think I ever mentioned it to him, we know that if a mikvah would be missing, and without going into the intricacies of the halacha, of the changing of the colors, of a milk, of a red, but if a mikvah would be missing 3 lugin, then in the simplest form, the mikvah would no longer be a usable mikvah for you. So you're missing 3 lugin and no longer works. I was thinking, when we'll have sukkahs, we say the Hashanah, there's a very interesting Hashanah. One Hashanah says, Hashanah shalosh shalosh Hashanah. So there's a lot of different pshat than what it means, shalai shalais. Which 3 hours is it talking about? So I was thinking, klape the jibo dayan's word, it works out beautifully. If 3 lugin will passel up a mikveh and you no longer have the bria chadasha, so it could be, and we know that that's comparable to shalais, hayshana shalai shalais hayshana. I was thinking that maybe that's a possibility. But the point is that these are golden opportunities, and the more that are utilized properly, the more cleansed we stand the chance of becoming. And one of the things that they put out for Divrei Torah before Shabbos, I saw a beautiful thought. It says in the Acha Sha'alti, in the Ladovid, it says that B'zois ani b'teach, in this I trust. Now we've said many, many different explanations. What does it mean, B'zois ani b'teach? What is the in this? that I'm trusting in. So he says the next word. Usually the bezois goes, it says very beautifully, bezois ani boitech. I trust in this. What's the this? What's the next word? Right after bezois ani boitech, what's the next word? Achas sha'alti. Achas. In the power of one, in the belief that one opportunity can make a difference, and it's not inconsequential. How many times have we spoken, people think that it's big and grandiose? That's not true. You got to have groisa sheifas. That's true. But the way to be successful is achas. He says that's the way to read it. Bezois ani b'teach. Even though there's melchama, you know what gives me comfort? I trust in this. What's the this? Achas, that the power of one, I could really make a humongous difference with one thing, the choice, the opportunities add up, that's something that brings me a lot of comfort. It goes well with the next words also, where it says, Achas sha'alti meis Hashem oisa avakesh. My she'ela, my belief, my everything in achas, oisa avakesh. It's not just the she'ela, but it's a bakasha, meaning I truly believe this. So I was thinking perhaps that the one nekuda to focus on more than any other would be found. This past week I mentioned that in the Yom Tov, the Rosh Hashanah davening, we say, Simcha l'artzecha v'sason l'irecha. There's a beautiful pshat I saw brought down from the Baal Baruch Sha'amar. What's the difference between Simcha l'artzecha, sason l'irecha? When do you apply the word Simcha, and when do you apply the word sason? I mentioned it this past Shabbos in a shir after davening. So he says a vart. He says, Simcha is when you complete something, the current job you're involved in. I gave an example, I believe, this past Shabbos. Let's say someone sends you to the store to buy potatoes because they want to make potato kugel. When you finish purchasing the potatoes, that was your immediate job that was finished. It's not the end-all, be-all goal. The end-all, be-all goal is that it should be used for something much larger, i.e. making of the potato kugel. So simcha is an expression that's used when you're immediate thing at hand is completed. But when the overall, larger, more global dover is completed, that's sason. He brings a beautiful raya, may I just quote it, because Shabbos morning and Shachris, when we sing the Kel Adoin, or we say the Kel Adoin, it says, Smeichim b'tseisom v'sason b'voyim. Now that's talking about angels going out and doing their job. So when they go out on their shlichus, Smeichim b'tseisom, they're happy. But sasim bevayam, they're only at the level of sasim, which is a much higher level when they come back. Going out and doing the shlichus is only the immediate. Returning and having completed what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, that's the ultimate. Hence, when you go out, it's smeichim b'tseisom. When you come back, sasim bevayam. So he says very beautifully, that's the way you understand davening as well. Simcha la'artzecha. When we'll have the geula and go back to Eretz Yisrael, you'll have simcha. But that's not the ultimate tafkid. The ultimate tafkid is to be an Oved Hashem, to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, for all of that glory to return. Memela, he says, Simcha la'artzecha, but sasoin le'irecha. If you want to take a look also in the Haggadah, forgive me if I'm not remembering it correctly, in the Haggadah, right before Maggid is over and we pick up the second kais, there we make a lengthy bruch, and there it says, Smeichim b'irecha v'sosim la'avodasecha. I believe that's the lashon, right before we conclude the bracha. It makes sense as well. Smeichim, we're happy when we come into the city, but sosim la'avodasecha, the ultimate joy is only because the tafkid, when it's completed, brings you sosim. As a side, I thought that works out very nicely with the sheva brachas. Somebody wants to, for Sheva Brachas Torah, at least get this out of it. In Sheva Brachas, we say two brachas. One is Sameach to Samach, and one is Sois Tosis. The wording works out very beautifully. Sameach to Samach Reim Ahuvim, that's going on the Chosin and Kala. Sois Tosis is going on Yerushalayim. So based on the word of the Baal Baruch Sha'amar, I think we're saying something very, very glatt, and something very correct. What is the reason that any chosin and kala build a home? They're building a bayis neman b'Yisrael so that it could bring the ultimate Beis HaMikdash. Like, I'm sorry to get sidetracked for a moment, but what's the raya we always bring? There's machlekes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. What's going to happen first? Is it going to be the Beis HaMikdash or Mashiach or vice versa? So, Beis Shammai says that first is going to be the Beis Hamikdash. Beis Shammai says first is going to be the Beis Hamikdash and then Mashiach. And we pass like Yisrael, first will be Eliyahu and Mashiach and then the Beis Hamikdash. So the Talmidim asked the Chasam Sofer, it seems like Beis Shammai is right. Because we always refer, we say the word Anovim, grapes. Anovim is spelled Ayin Nun Beis Yud Mem. It stands for Eis Nivne Bayis Yavai Mashiach. In the time will first be Nivne Bayis and then Mashiach. So it seemed like Beis Shammai was correct, not Beis Hillel. So the Chasam Sofer said, you're not translating the words correctly. It means if a couple gets married, Eis, and they want to marry that Geula, Nivna Bayis, you build your own home. In a way, Yavai Mashiach. And once Mashiach comes, then you'll merit the Beis Hamikdash. Our point from that Vard is that whenever a Chos and a Kala build a home, that's not the end all be all. They're building a home so that it could bring about the Beis Hamikdash. I was thinking that's the Pshat. When the Bracha by Sheva Brachas is talking about Chos and Kala, it says Sameach to Samach. But when it's talking about Yerushalayim, which is the ultimate, there it says Sois Tosis. With this concept in mind and the two things we've established so far, that every achas brings us to a level of purity, and that sois is a higher level than simcha. I was thinking, maybe then the pasuk that says, "Sos anoichi al imresecha kimaitze shalol rav," that's referring to words of Torah, to learning Torah and divrei Torah. It doesn't use a lashon of simcha; it uses a lashon of sosain. Sos anoichi al imresecha kimaitze shalol rav means that you have to understand that the learning and living of Torah is not a hechitimtza. It's not merely on the level of sameach to samach. But sos anoich al imresecha means that the ultimate, the tafkid is, that's a level of sosim, because that's what life is all about, the ability to learn and live and breathe and respect and honor Torah. A few weeks ago I mentioned the following. I believe I heard it in the name of Reb Simcha Shustel. And I think this really ties everything so far that we've said together very beautifully. There is a halacha, I believe it's from Reb Simcha Shustel, there is a halacha that when a person gets up in the morning and he wants to learn Torah, he has to first wash his hand and make brachas. Similarly, if a person wants to go ahead and he wants to write words of Torah, also he has to wash his hands and make a bracha. If a person wants to think words of Torah, hear Hurei Torah, for that you don't have to wash your hands or make a bracha. Why? Why, if I want to learn and teach Torah or write Torah, yes, but hear Hurei Torah not? So I'm told in the name of Simcha Shustel, he says, Mamash Zinger, he says such a powerful vart. Because when a person gets up and will speak words of learning, you could gain from my words. When a person will write words of learning, you could also gain from my words. You'll read my ksavim, you'll read my divrei Torah. But when you think words of learning, nobody could gain but yourself. If nobody's going to gain but yourself, that's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam had on mind when he said, "Sos anoich al imresecha." The real tafkid of learning is so that you could go ahead and share that with others. The Mela. If you're learning and you're speaking it, or you're learning and you're writing it, for that you taka make a bracha and you wash your hands as well. But for Hurei Torah, as wonderful as it is, no one else is going to benefit. If no one else is going to benefit, that's not the ultimate tafkid and matara of learning. Mamela, for such a type of learning, you don't wash your hands and make a bracha. Works out very beautifully because it says, why were we born? Adam la'amal yulad. We were born to toil. How do you spell the word la'amal? La'amal is spelled lamed ayin mem lamed. Lamed ayin mem lamed stands for lilmaid al menas lilamed. You want to know why you were created? You don't live in a cocoon. You don't live in a bubble. If you're privileged to know that in a week is Rosh Hashanah, and on Pesach you eat matzah, and on Purim you hear Megillah, and on Sukkot you take Dalet Minim, and you know what Shavuos is about, then you're more fortunate than approximately 90+% of the Jews in the world. You don't live in a cocoon. Adam le'omal yulad. Le'omal is Rosh Teva, is lilmoid al menas le'lamed. You were given a gift. You know about the beauty of Shabbos, of Limud HaTorah, of mitzvahs. Then spread it further. Memela, he says, that's the pshat that we just mentioned. If it's only Hirhurei Torah, where no one else is going to be the beneficiary, for that you don't wash your hands and make a bracha. Mashen came the others, people will gain from. It goes very beautifully with the pshat we've said from the Radomsker Rebbe. It says in Pirkei Avos, Im lamadata Torah harbe, al tachzik toiva la'atzmacha. It literally means that if you've learned a lot of Torah, al tachzik toiva la'atzmacha, don't pat yourself on the back. You're not God's gift to the world. Like you were created to learn. Says the Radomsker Rebbe is something maveldik. He says, Im lamadata Torah harbe, you're privileged to learn Torah. The only toiv in the world is Torah. Ain't toiv ela Torah. Al tachazik toiva, don't hold all of that Torah la'atzmacha to yourself. Share it with others. If you're privileged that you learned a lot and you know all the things I mentioned a moment ago, al tachazik toiva la'atzmacha, then don't hold all of that beauty and goodness to yourself. Share it with others. So I'm simply suggesting, before Rosh Hashanah, where we realize the value of an achas, and we realize that enough of them adding up could create a level of purity like a mikvah, and we realize that things that are immediate are simcha, but things that are more global are sosline, when it comes to learning and spreading Torah, it doesn't use a lashon of simcha. It says, sos anoichel imresech ikemoitzei shalom rav. Learning Torah and knowing about the beauty is not enough. Al tachazik toiva la'atzmacha. Don't be selfish and keep it to yourself, but be selfless and spread it to everyone. Memela for Hirhurei Torah, there's no bracha. For the others, there is. And that's exactly what it means when it says, la'omal, you're created, lilmoid al minas lilamed. How does a person, now that I think we got to the level that I know what the tachlis is, how do I do it? How do I successfully impart it to someone else? There's a maisa with Rav Moshe we said a few months ago, and wanting to hear every pitch of go again, I called our mechut and Rav Moshe Schmelzer. Other than mentioning the name of the Rebbe that it happened to, for reasons that will become extremely obvious, every Nakuda of the story, this is exactly how it happened. Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. If you could imagine years ago, 30, 40 years ago, Bachrim were playing pranks. What was the prank? That they made prank phone calls. You know, but their pranks were taken to a new level. They called different Rabbanim and different Paiskim, and they asked ridiculous questions. Imagine such a prank. One boy, his turn was that he's going to call Reb Moshe. And he actually called a little bit after 11 o'clock at night. And on that night, Reb Moshe was already sleeping. And the Rebbetzin said, is it something I should wake him up for? And he said, yes. I know the story must be very painful to hear, so I apologize. So Reb Moshe comes to the phone and Reb Moshe says, excuse me a minute, I just want to do Netilas Yadayim, I'll wash my hands, I'll come back. He comes back and he says, what's your question? And the boy, with his prank, asks a question. And of course Reb Moshe right away picked up that it was a prank and a joke. So he said to the boy, what yeshiva do you learn in? The boy was afraid to answer. He thought maybe Reb Moshe was going to call the Rosh Yeshiva, or he was afraid to answer. So Reb Moshe said, no, that's not why I'm asking at all. You have my word. I'm not calling anybody. Tell me, where do you learn? So he told him. He said to him, what Gemara are you learning? So he told Reb Moshe. He says, what daf? He told him. So Reb Moshe, as if he had a Gemara in front of him, but of course he didn't. He went through the whole daf with the boy. He said to the boy, you understand what's going on? He didn't understand anything. He says, Taisvus over there. Do you understand that Taisvus? The boy, Taisus, at that point was as far as he didn't understand it at all. So Reb Moshe said, let me teach you the Gemara. And Rav Moshe, line by line, lovingly, taught him the Gemara, not once and not twice, either three or four times. He then asked the boy, do you now understand the Gemara? The boy was glowing. Itak understood it. He said, now let's see that Tosfos again. They saw the Tosfos again. He says, now Itak understand Tosfos. So Rav Moshe says, so let me ask you a question on Tosfos. And Rav Moshe asked him a question on Tosfos. And the boy said, you know, that's a great question. So he says, here's what I want you to do. Tomorrow morning, ask your Rebbe that question. The boy goes to yeshiva, and in the morning he raises his hand, something he probably never did before. And Rebbe says, what is it? So the boy asks that kasha. So the Rebbe says, it's an unbelievable kasha. Where'd you get that kasha from? He says, Rav Moshe Feinstein asked that kasha. He told it to me. So the Rebbe, Hake Kasha? It was in the beginning of the week. The Rebbe worked the entire week to come up with an answer, and at the end of the week, he came up with an answer. The boy said that was the turning point in his life, because he chapped. I was empowered with a question by Rav Moshe that my Rebbe worked on all week? Itaka had a question that that my Rebbe worked on all week? I had that power? Oy bazoy, I can do it. He turned his life around, and today, he's amazing. In other words, that's why we're not saying the name, which is obvious. He's a major, major Magid Shir, a Givaldic Magid Shir, in one of the Yeshiva Gedailas in the tri-state area. Why? First of all, the Pichas of Rav Moshe, to understand how the mind works and what the boy needed. But the boy needed to feel that sweetness. The boy needed to understand. He needed to see the Harivna, how sweet it is. And once he saw it and he tasted it and he lived with it and he was empowered with Akasha and he reached a level of excitement he never hit before, he says, you know what? I can do it. And he turned his life around. I think the answer to our question a few minutes ago of Al-Takzik Tevel Atzmacha, don't hold it for yourself, but spread it further. To teach others, they've got to know that it's sweet. Somebody just today I was talking to about this inyan, he said a beautiful pshat. The bracha in the morning that we end with, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaMelame Taira Liyamu Yisrael. Now that doesn't seem to be true. Hashem didn't teach us Taira. Hashem gave us the Torah. The Gemara in Aaron speaks out how it was transmitted. The simplest way to understand it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu taught us Torah. But how do you say in the morning about HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaMelame Torah Lama Yisrael? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't teach it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it and Moshe Rabbeinu taught it. The Torah is what we just said. Because what are the first two words of that bracha? V'harev, now make it sweet. Your Rebbe is not necessarily the one that teaches you the most, or the one who helped you cover the most pages. A person's Rebbe is the one, the Harivna, who got them excited, who got them going, who made it warm and fuzzy. The Mela works out beautiful. We say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Harivna, please make it zis and sweet. And if a person will make it sweet, by definition, HaMelamei Torah, if a person's able to learn 1,000 block, the thing that got them to learn the 1,000 blot is because years ago, maybe somebody showed them the mesikus of how sweet it is. If you see how sweet it is, that's your Rebbe, and everything else came from that. But mele, you could say, HaMelamed Torah. I just saw in a sefer from Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, if you want to know how effective this can be on our children, like, what is it that consume our children, and what is it that they're... I'll tell you, I just thought of it now. A few days ago, some of my little sons were watching a video about the life of Rebbe Elyashiv. I just thought of it now. First time I'm mentioning it. Rav Bengis. I believe when Rebbe Elyashiv was 28... wrote a long letter about Rebbe Elyashiv, and then wrote, when Rebbe Elyashiv was 28, so you're going back about 90 or so years ago, Halacha Kemaisai. I don't mean 5 years ago. I'm talking about, what did I say, 80 plus years ago? Halacha kimoisai. The halacha is like Rebbe Yoshev. It happens to be the way that the video said it very dramatically. Halacha kimoisai. So for the next few days, one of my sons, now he's four, he was mamish walking around the house, halacha kimaisai, halacha kimaisai. And I turned to my wife and I said, you know, that makes me feel very good. Because they're going to talk about and repeat what they hear and what they see and what they hear in the home. And so much of what everybody else is speaking about is nonsense, and you don't want that the children... I mamish felt so good. My four-year-old was going around saying, mamish like with the same drama, halacha kimaisai. So you want to know the impact on children. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky brings down that in Bnei Brak there was a diamond dealer. And the diamond dealer was very successful, but all he ever told his children was, toiv li toiras picha me'alfei zov achesef. Diamonds are nothing when it comes to words of Torah. You want to know what has real worth? Words of Torah. He says the kids grew up with that mantra. They never heard from their father diamonds and the worth of diamonds. What diamonds? Torah. That's all they ever heard. And that the price and the worth and the value of Torah, that's the end all be all. So as a boy, maybe the age I just said now, 4, 5, 6, who mamish heard that as much as diamonds are worth, nothing is as worth the amount, the dollar amount that Torah is worth. A couple weeks later, he had a sweet tooth. He wanted to go to the makolet and get something sweet. So he went to the makolet and went to the store and he picked out a sweet candy. And when the guy from the makolet turned to the little kid to tell him to pay, so he said, Slicha, I don't have any money on me, but I got a vart to tell you. I have a dvar Torah. And the kid meant it, by the way. What does that kid know from Shtick and Kunzen? He meant it. Unfortunately, the person responded with a tirade and the kid didn't understand. Like, he came home and he told his father, what? If Torah is more than diamonds, then why didn't he take it from my lollipop? The end of the story is not what I want to focus on, but the upshot is the father said, I'll tell you why. He gave him one of his diamonds and he said, go to the grocery guy who sells vegetables and ask him what he'll give you for the diamond. So the guy looked at the diamond and I said, I'll give you 4 bushels of bananas and 3 crates of tomatoes and some kashuim on the side. He said, I'll ask my father. He went home and then he took the diamond. The father said, now go to Chveis, the 16th floor of a large building by the diamond district, and ask what they'll give you over there. And of course the answer was millions of dollars. So when the kid came back confused, he said, it's very poshut, because the first guy who was selling vegetables, he doesn't know the value of a diamond. A diamond dealer does. So it's not a kasha that when you went to the makolet, the guy threw you out. He didn't know the value of Torah. But that's the way the kid was raised, halacha kimaisai, or the understanding that if there's nothing sweeter, it will have continuity. I just want to end with one vart and one maisa. If you take a look in Perek Vav of Pirkei Avos, it's probably the most famous story in Pirkei Avos with Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, when he turned down the request to live in a place of spreading Torah. We've said over the years, well north of 20 answers to why he turned it down. But he turned it down. Why? Because he said, you can give me all the money in the world, I'm not living anywhere but a Mokum Torah. And listen to this line from Tehillim. V'chein kosuv b'sefer Tehillim al yedei David melech Yisrael. Toiv li toiras picha me'alfei zov achesev is a pasuk I quoted a moment ago. Now how many times have you read that Mishnah? Between 100 and 1,000? Did you ever stop to ask the question, what's going on over here with the whole title? V'chein kosuv b'sefer Tehillim al yedei David melech Yisrael. You can look through, you can do it with a computer, without a computer. You don't find that title when bringing down a pasuk. Either you'll find kimoisha kosuv b'sefer Tehillim, that's the most common thing. Sometimes you'll find kimoisha amar David melech Yisrael. But this is such an unusual kimoisha kosuv b'sefer Tehillim. I got it. I know who wrote Tehillim. Ayyidei David melech Yisrael. Why are you giving me the David melech Yisrael? I know who wrote Sefer Tehillim. The Teretz is, because what's the comment that was made? There's nothing as valuable as Tyra. Who made that comment? If that comment would have made by a guy who's struggling, or a guy who has an okay I livelihood, okay, so that guy understands they would rather avert. But who made that comment in Sefer Tehillim? David Melech Yisrael. David Melech Yisrael had at his disposal wealth and treasure chest beyond anything we could fathom. There was no shortage at all of wealth to David Melech Yisrael. And with it all, you know what David Melech Yisrael said? That's why it's specifically over here that it doesn't just tell you this is a quote from Tehillim. It tells you it's a quote from Tehillim al Yedei David Melech Yisrael. He can say it. He had everything. And with all the wealth, David Melech Yisrael said, Tayvli Tayras Picha, it doesn't come to the beauty and the sweetness of Tayra. When the Ponovizharov made the Chanukah Sabayas for the Yeshiva and Ponovizh, for Ponovizh Yeshiva and Bnei Brak, it was a very special gathering. There weren't that many people there. The Ponovizharov was there, I believe, and you would certainly know, I believe 7 Bachram were there. It said that at the time of the Hanochas Evin HaPinu, when they started to the groundbreaking, the Chazon Ish was there, and the Chazon Ish was so overcome of the moment that he was crying, and his tears went into the ground, and it was those tears that went into the ground that Ponovizh is built on. So now at the Chanukah Sabayis, in the evening, there was a Mishnah Gadol, and I think the 7 Talmidim were there. When the Ponovizh Rav got up to speak, he said, I know today it looks like this is where everything is going to begin. Now is the beginning of the yeshiva. But really the yeshiva began 54 years ago. Now 54 years before the Ponovizh Rav was saying this, he was a little boy. So they looked at him, how could you say Ponovizh began 54 years ago? He said, I'll tell you. We remember the night very well. It was a night of an unprecedented snowstorm. I can't imagine how high the snow must have piled up. And in our home, we only had 1 pair of boots. And that night by supper, our parents told us, said the Ponovizh Rav to me, and there were a number of older brothers, because you can't go out in this weather without boots, there's only 1 pair. We're going to have to come up with a way that one of you will go ahead and be able to go to yeshiva tomorrow morning. So I believe at that point, each one wanted to come up with a svara why they should be the one to have the pair of boots. I'm starting a new grade tomorrow, and I'm starting a new mesechta tomorrow, and I'm having a new Rebbe tomorrow. Everyone had a svara why they should be the one. And the parents said, we'll make a gairo. At night, we'll make a gairo. The way I heard the Maisa was that the Ponovizh Rav said, when the meal ended, the benching that all of us had, us in this room, would have thought it was like Ne'ilon on Yom Kippur. He said, we poured our heart outs into the benching that we should be Zayin. It's interesting, because I'm here already 44 years, so I don't know much about snow. But I'm told by relatives that on a snow day in New York, they're not pouring their heart out into benching. There's like a lot of excitement, you know, like almost no tachlon Monday and Thursday if you don't have snow, or if you have snow and you don't have school. He says that, and when we went to sleep, Shman Hamapil, he said it was, everybody was poshut crying, let us be the one. Only one's going. Maybe 4:30 in the morning, the Ponovizh Rav's mother went over to the oldest son and woke him up. You want to go to yeshiva? So he said, I won the gairo. So she said, you didn't win the gairo, but come, I'll take you to yeshiva. You didn't win, well, I'm going to take you. She put on the boots, and she put the oldest son on her shoulders. And she wrapped him in a blanket that he should stay warm. The walk to the yeshiva was 5 minutes. But because there was a heavy child on her back, it took about half an hour. She valgers it, she brings him there, and she comes back, and then she goes over to the second son. Maybe by now it's 4:45 in the morning, says, wakes him up and says, you want to go to yeshiva? He says, I won the gairo. He says, you didn't win the gairo, but I'm able to go to yeshiva. And the same thing repeats itself. She puts on the boots. A 5-minute walk takes a half hour. She trudges through feet and feet of snow, and she brings him there. And the same thing repeats itself with son number 3. I think the Panavizharov was the 4th one to go. That means by the time she got to the Panavizharov, she had been making these trips round trip. You're talking about probably close to 3 hours of walking in the snow. And with the Panavizharov on her back and wrapped in a blanket, he, as a little boy, hears his mother say, Ribbono shel Olam, you know the only reason that I'm doing this trip and going back and forth in the snow is so that my children should be able to learn Torah, that my children shouldn't miss a day of yeshiva. Please make it that when they grow up, they should have an avas haTorah. They should sense the vaharivnon, the sweetness and the mesikus. Please let them love to learn. And the Panavizharov heard that. And he wanted to whisper something into his mother's ear. He was a small boy, so he had to lift himself more and more onto his mother's shoulders. And he bent down until his mouth was by his mother's ear. And he said, Ma, I heard what you said. Because you are doing what you're doing today to make sure that boys learn, one day because of you, I'll build a yeshiva where boys are able to learn. So 54 years later, at the groundbreaking of Panavizh, he said, it didn't start today, it started 54 years ago. That's what happens if a person believes in the sensational Vaharivna. I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, this isn't Stamas Chus to take into Yom HaDin. I think it's a pretty ginormous Chus to take into Yom HaDin. And it's not something that's reserved to a person who's a Magid Shir or a Rav or a Reish Kailo. Every morning in Ava Rabba you say, Lil Moidu Lalamed. What, is everybody a teacher? Reb Moshe says, yeah. Because people are watching you and you teach by the way you talk and interact. People are looking for S'chusim as they approach Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I hope, Ezras Hashem, that we take with us the schus not merely of hirhure Torah, but speaking and learning. Remember, sos anoichel imreisecha kemoitzei shalom rav. It's not an immediate goal, it's the end all be all. And when a person feels the lilmoid al menas lalame, to give over the sweetness, al tachzik toiv la'atzom, what, do we live in a bubble that we don't spread it further? Reb Moshe understood that that sweetness will cause a boy who made pranks to turn around his life and become a choshev magid shir. And the Panavizharov saw all of the effort that was put into making prayer sweet, and on that Panavizh is built. I hope that I, and if I spoke a little bit louder, it was for people to take it to heart. We'll make sure that approaching the Yimei HaDin, we will do and make whatever hachlata we can do so that the beauty of Torah and the mesikus, the vaharivna, which is unparalleled, lilmoidu lalamid, will spread it further, will teach others, will mamish bring that sweetness to them. And al yedei bringing the sweetness to them, we should be zeiche to a gebench de gesunte yar, a ksiva v'chasima toiva, and we should merit bringing all of the beauty of the Torah and of Avodas Hashem as the schusim to take us into the Yemei HaDin.